Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
A good morning to you all and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, young female suicide bombers hit northeastern Nigeria. But who are these suicide bombers?
Nobody knows them. They don't have any sign. Nobody will identify them.
A Zambian lawmaker ignites a debate on the health of presidential candidates.
We are tired of state funerals. That money should be going in the building of roads, good schools, good healthy facilities that we are not acquiring nicely at the moment.
And for drama lovers, we bring you another installment of Crossroads Generation. I'll be back right after this.
Top story.
We begin in northeastern Nigeria, where the bloodletting shows no sign of ending. At least six people were killed on Sunday when two female suicide bombers blew themselves up at a crowded market in Potiskum, northeast Nigeria. The attack happened after Saturday's suicide bomb attack by a girl aged around 10, which killed at least 19 people at a busy market in Maiduguri. My colleague Crispin Mwakideu spoke to DW correspondent Alamin Mohammed on reactions from the residents.
The attack has definitely put people in fear. Generally, people feel they are no more safe, because if a suicide bomber will just enter into people and just blow herself or himself off, the people feel that nobody is safe. The police in Maiduguri are saying that it was a 10-year-old girl that detonated bomb and killed about 20 people and 19 injured.
And who are these female suicide bombers? Is there anything that is known about them? Where do they come from? How do they end up with bombs around their bodies?
Nobody knows them. They don't have any sign. Nobody will identify them, because mostly women in this part of the country, they wear hijab. They wear something that protects their body. So you cannot know who is the suicide bomber. They are working, they are within the people, they are living inside the people. They go normal way the people are going, and nobody knows from where they are coming from. Only recently we had a lady that was arrested in Kano. She was telling that is her own father, who is also a member of the sect, that take her to the place, to one bush. So they were trained there, and from there they were asked to go to Kano and detonate the bomb that was together with them, three of them.
How are these attacks now likely to change the way people, especially men, relate to young females? There has to be a change, I assume.
Yes, there is. There is. Because wherever a lady is passing away, people are thinking that she may be carrying a bomb, maybe inside her bag or within her body. So that had definitely changed the way people relate with girls and females generally in this part of the country.
Just one last question before we go. Now, the country is now embroiled in an election mood. We know that the elections are coming up next month. Do you think these increased attacks have anything to do with the election?
Well, people are saying that this type of attack is staged. I mean, a kind of people to be worried about it, so that they will change their attitudes, or they will not even go out for the election. So some are saying that it was planned. It was calculated a plan so that the election will not hold in that area, so that maybe they would declare a state of emergency, or they will put a military government to take care of that place, because it's being controlled mostly by opposition party.
Alamin Mohammed in northeastern Nigeria. Rights groups Amnesty International has described last week's killing in the northern town of Baga as the deadliest massacre by Boko Haram. There are reports that the town was razed and as many as 2,000 people murdered. Amnesty International's researcher for Nigeria, Daniel Ere, told Crispin Mwakideu that the Baga attack signals an escalation in the Boko Haram insurgency.
We've spoken to several eyewitnesses and local government officials, and also human rights defenders who have spoken with the people fleeing the violence in Baga, and been able to confirm that we believe hundreds and possibly as many as 2,000 people have been killed in these attacks. We believe, if these numbers can be verified, that this constitutes the deadliest attack in what has been an escalating conflict between Boko Haram and Nigeria. Last year alone, we saw that Boko Haram deliberately targeted and killed more than 4,000 people, overwhelming majority of whom are civilians. these murders constitute war crimes and crimes against humanity.
And who exactly is Amnesty going to keep accountable? Is there a particular figure that you hold accountable?
Well, we're calling on Boko Haram to end its campaign of violence against civilians, but we've also asked the Nigerian government to do more to protect them. Unfortunately, the situation is quite dire for Nigerian civilians living in the northeast. They're at risk on an almost daily basis of Boko Haram attacks.
And you mentioned earlier on that you have been speaking to survivors, to people who have fled the violence. What have they been telling you? What experiences do they have to share?
The people that we've spoken to have told us that Boko Haram, first of all, attacked the Nigerian military base just outside of Bagger and overwhelmed the troops that were stationed there. They then moved into Bagger town itself and went through the streets shooting at civilians. One man told me that they went door to door, pulling out young men of fighting age and shot them in the streets. By 5 p.m., when the shooting finally finished, he said that there were dead bodies everywhere in the streets. So it's really a very bleak picture that we're receiving from many witnesses.
Many Nigerians have lost hope with the military's ability to defeat Boko Haram. So what is the best way to overcome the Islamists? Is it a regional force, an international force?
And that's really a question for the Nigerian government. They have appealed for international support, particularly when it came to the abduction of 276 girls from Chibok Secondary School in April of last year. However, what's clear is that the measures that have been taken have not been sufficient to protect civilians who are at risk of almost daily attacks by Boko Haram.
Amnesty International researcher for Nigeria, Daniel Ewe.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Now, with less than 2 weeks before Zambians go to the polls to elect a new president, the health of the president has become an election campaign issue. This follows the death of two sitting presidents within 6 years. Edgar Lungu, the candidate for the ruling Patriotic Front, said on Sunday he is ready to undergo medical tests. As Kathy Sikombi reports, the health issue has generated a heated debate.
We are tired of state funerals. That matter should be going in a building of roads, good schools, good healthy facilities that we are not acquiring nicely at the moment.
Sylvia Masebo is a Zambian Member of Parliament and started the debate on whether Zambian presidential candidates should undergo health checks. After the deaths of President Mike Osata, aged 77 in 2014, and the death of Levi Mwanawasa, aged 60 in 2008, Zambians are keeping a watchful eye on the health of their presidential candidates. Lusaka residents are divided over the idea of medically examining the candidates.
It is not necessary to go for a medical checkup because, you know, death, it is God who determine someone to die. Maybe it is Satan who determine someone to die. We can put it in that other way around.
Oh, I think it's good to test them because we need health leaders so that we don't face the problem that we faced before, like dying and all sorts of things. When President Mwanawasa died, I felt so bad, and it repeated again to President Mike Osata. So I felt so bad that I don't want it to repeat again.
In recent years, the African continent experienced a number of deaths of their leaders, including Malawi's Mutharika, Ghana's Atta Mills, and Nigeria's Yar'Adua. Zambia's President Sata had continuously denied rumors about his ill health before his death in October. William Banda, a medical doctor, agrees with the call to examine the health of the 11 presidential candidates, but he points out that Zambia would have to make constitutional changes to carry this out.
Yes, it is good for them to go for medical checkups, but the problem we have is that in our Zambian constitution, it's not been enshrined that they should go for medical checkups. But it's good that since they are enacting a new constitution, they need to include that. It's not good to lose the Republican presidency in the shortest period of time.
Many presidential candidates say they are ready to be tested and have their medical results released to the public. For now, the debate continues, and it is uncertain if it will be made a reality before elections on the 20th of January.
A report by Kathy Sikombe in Lusaka. You are listening to Africa Link from DW in Bonn, Germany. The European Union is the biggest donor of official development aid. The EU has declared 2015 to be the European Year of Development. However, it also wants to find out how effective international development aid actually is. That's also a matter of great interest to recipient countries. Arian Krish has been finding out what people think in Tanzania, and his report is presented by Susan Holton.
It's time for bed at an orphanage in Tanzania's largest city, Dar es Salaam. For 14-year-old Hafid, that also means it's time to get under his mosquito net. Hafid and growing numbers of his friends can now protect themselves against malaria with nets provided by international development aid. This was largely responsible for a cut of 50% in the number of malaria cases in children under 5 in Tanzania between 2008 and 2013. Despite such a success in the health sector, not all aid projects fulfil the hopes placed in them. In 2013 alone, 1.7 billion euros of development aid went to Tanzania, which is the second largest recipient of development aid in sub-Saharan Africa. But half the population still lives in poverty. Frustration is growing, as this woman told DW.
The money doesn't get to the right people. If it did get to the right people, or to hospitals, it wouldn't cause any violence.
This is a view shared by many people in Dar es Salaam.
If you build schools, then you need new modern buildings and good teachers. Of course, development aid can help here. But if the money doesn't get to the right people, then nothing can be done. But we still need the aid.
We have to work harder to ensure better, more sustainable development for our country. That's better than always relying on development aid, which only encourages corruption.
Adalgot Komba is the director of the Institute for Development Studies at the University of Dar es Salaam. He's happy that there are plans for discussions at EU headquarters in Brussels about the effectiveness of aid provided. This is long overdue, he says.
Sometimes you can get aid in the area, I think, not your priority areas. You can say, okay, our priority areas are 1, 2, 3. And then the donor will tell you, no, we have money for 1, 2, 3. Take it or leave it. This, I think, is a serious problem in the development aid industry.
Donor countries last flexed their muscles in October. Following a corruption scandal in Tanzania's energy sector, they froze aid payments of more than 400 million euros. This followed claims that senior government officials had siphoned off funds from the country's central bank. In a first sign of a thaw, donor countries announced in early January they would release some of the money as a gesture acknowledging that efforts had been taken to meet their demand for a credible investigation.
That report was written by Adrian Krish and presented by Susan Holton. I'll be back in 10 minutes with a summary of our stories, but for now, here's Learning by Ear, Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there. It's time to hear more about our young heroes Nikki, Mercy, Dan and Trudy in our radio series Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for a way. Crossroads Generation. Our future stands today.
We're about to start the 13th episode of this third season. So what's happened so far? 19-year-old Dan has lost his job at a construction site and is now searching for new opportunities.
So now what?
I don't know, Dan. I guess we both have to find a new job.
We should be our own bosses.
Ah, good idea.
Dan has a daughter with 18-year-old university student Mercy, but Dan left right after Mercy gave birth 3 years ago, and Mercy isn't keen to let him back into their lives. The fact that Mercy has another man's child is causing trouble in her relationship with her boyfriend, Nikki Jumbe. But right now, Nikki has other things to worry about.
How are you, Dad? You sound a bit strange.
No, I'm fine. Don't worry. Just a slight headache.
Hello? Hello, Dad? Hello?
What happened? We're about to find out. But let's pass by Mercy's parents first. 4 years ago, Mercy's father sold his newborn baby girl to the politician Mukaraba. Now he's ready to testify against him in court, but Mukaraba mustn't find out. Today's episode is called A Garbage Collector. We join Mercy's parents as they're arguing in front of their house.
Msoto, listen to me. I already told you that I don't like you putting all this talk about King Karubu into our sons' heads.
King Karubu will forgive you once you turn to him.
Leave it, Msoto. This is your belief, not mine. In all these years, you've been nothing but a bad influence on our kids. Just leave us alone.
But Lulu, my wife...
How many times do I have to tell you? I am not your wife anymore. Besides, Inspector Mary told me that you need to stop this crazy behavior if you want the court to take you seriously.
I will not bend in my belief in King Karubu.
What?
Look, over there. It's Mukaraba.
What does he want? Here in Tandika slums.
I don't know.
Hey, Msoto. How are you, Msoto, my friend?
I'm not your friend.
Hey, don't be like that. Look, can I buy you a drink while we talk? In private?
First of all, I don't drink anymore. And secondly, whatever you have to say, you can say it right here in front of my wife.
Msoto.
We don't keep secrets from each other.
Okay. I just want to talk to you.
Last time you wanted to talk, you set your dogs on us.
Come on, Lorna. It's Lorna, isn't it? We are all friends here, aren't we? We shouldn't be like this. We're from the same tribe.
You don't even know my name and you call yourself a friend? And don't talk to me about tribes. What's that got to do with anything? Now, please leave us alone and let the law take its course, Mr. Mukaraba.
That's exactly what we should do. Let the judge decide. And him alone. Without you interfering in any way, you understand? If you know what's good for you, you'll stay right away from that court. This case could ruin my good name, and I will not stand by and let you do that. Don't forget, you were part of the deal. So remember, I could ruin your lives, and the lives of your children too. Do you understand me?
Are you threatening us?
I'm just giving you some good advice.
Oh, water! Finally! This is a miracle. The first time since I moved here, these tubs never have water in them.
Dan, how do you survive here in the slums, man?
What do you mean, Billy?
The place stinks from here to Kingdom Come. No water?
So why don't you go back to your place, huh? Do you even have a place to live, Billy?
Oh, I do. Smaller than this, maybe, but at least it's not next to a garbage dump.
Oh, yeah? So why are you still here? It's been 2 days and you don't seem to want to go home. Come on, tell me, what's wrong?
Dan, I can't go there. I owe some people.
What did you do?
My mother lives up country. And when she got really sick a while ago, I had to buy her medicine and stuff. She even had to go to hospital.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Is she better?
Yes, luckily. But I still haven't paid back the guys I borrowed the money from. They live in my neighborhood, and they aren't the kind of guys you keep waiting too long, if you know what I mean. And now that I've lost my job...
Wow. I had no idea. What are you going to do now?
I don't know, man.
Billy, I have an idea. I've been thinking about something. Remember what we talked about the other day? About being our own bosses?
Yeah, but that was just a joke and...
But we could be our own bosses. Seriously. See how big this garbage dump is?
Yeah.
Think about where it all comes from, huh? What if we were the ones collecting it and helping dispose of it better? Of course, we wouldn't make money immediately, but...
What? Me? A garbage collector? No way.
You haven't even had the whole plan.
I don't need to. I'm not collecting garbage, Dan. Never. Period.
Lectures are over for today. Hey, Mercy.
What, Trudy?
Can I talk to you?
You are already, aren't you?
Please, Mercy, I want to apologize again. I really didn't mean to cause trouble with my article. I was just so excited to be doing my first interview.
I should have known. Selfish Trudy never cares about the effect her actions have on others.
Just so you know, this whole story was supposed to help. I did have good intentions. It was all about justice for your family and the people of Tandika,
says Trudy the freedom fighter.
No need to be sarcastic. Look, it all ended well thanks to that police inspector. I'm glad you convinced me to go to the police with you.
I'm not sure it's all over. Remember what Tina told us about Mukarabo being a very dangerous man?
Right, yeah. That sounded really serious. By the way, have you seen her lately?
No, I haven't. I'm going to call her to see if she's all right.
Hello?
Tina, it's Mercy. How are you?
I can't talk right now.
We missed you in class yesterday and today. Are you okay, Tina?
I'm fine. I'll talk to you later.
Tina, wait.
What? Did she just hang up on you?
She did. That's not like her.
Hey, you got a message?
It's from Nikki. Oh, no.
Jumbe, my husband, how are you feeling?
Come on, Mama Nikki. You make it sound so serious. I'm fine.
It is serious, Dad. You're in hospital. What if I hadn't called? Who'd have known that you'd collapsed? Who'd have come looking for you and called the ambulance?
Nikki, help me put on these shoes. I need to go to the bathroom again. And then we have to get out of here.
But the doctor said you need to stay here for observation before they let you go.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Your father takes it all too lightly. We haven't even had the results of the tests.
Good evening, Mama Nikki, Mr. Jumbe.
Mercy, I'm so glad you could come.
Hey, Mercy. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Mr. Jumbe.
What's she doing here? Nikki, how did she... Nikki, this is a family matter.
Well, my girlfriend is family, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to intrude.
No, Mercy. You're not intruding. You're welcome here.
Young girl, please, wait outside.
If she goes, I go. Simple.
Nikki, I'm your mother.
Hey, calm down. Nobody's going anywhere. Janet... Marcy's been Nikki's girlfriend for some time now. The sooner you accept that, the better.
But she's not good for him. Can't you see that? Jumbe?
Mom, come on, don't start. Wait, Mercy, where are you going? Wait!
Good riddance.
Mercy!
That brings us to the end of today's episode of Crossroads Generation. Will Nikki catch up with Mercy? And what about Tina, Mercy's friend? Why was she so strange on the phone? Check out our webpage at dw.de/LBE for her latest video diary. Maybe that will give you a clue. And be sure to tune in next time for another episode of our radio series. In the meantime, you can discuss what you've just heard on our Facebook page. Goodbye.
Listen to Africa Link whenever you want. Sign up for our podcast at dw.de/Africa Link Podcast.
And before we go, let's take another look at our main stories. Female said bombers killed more than 20 people in northeastern Nigeria over the weekend. Zambian presidential contender Edgar Lungu has said he's ready to undergo a medical checkup to prove his fit. And Tanzania has been debating over the effectiveness of international development aid. That's all we had. Do send your comments and suggestions on the program by writing an SMS to country code 49160957-59510 and email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. And I'm Isaac Mugabe. Have a pleasant start of the week.